Good morning.
Preach it all.
Good morning. Doug asked me to preach this morning, so I hope that I remember to say everything that's on my heart and not say something that I shouldn't. You can't believe how many thoughts go through your head before you come up here. Let's pray. And Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would be glorified this morning. We know that you're right here. We worship you, Lord. We really need to hear from you every minute, every day, all the time. Correct us in the way we're going, Lord. We want to be a vessel that's useful to you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been going through Philemon. I want to back up just a minute and go to Colossians. I got kind of stuck in there this weekend. Colossians 4. In 2, he's talking about prayer. He's talking about talking to God. And as he goes on, in 5, he says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity or redeeming the time. And so here he's talking to man. He says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. And, you know, as I was looking at that, I was thinking, you know, we are the light of the world. And here it's talking about salt. And those two things are not something that are heard as much as they are light is seen and salt is tasted. You know, it's something even before that. And that's how he's asking us to be. And the way we approach people needs to be something that's already going on in our heart. It's not just in our words, but it's so much in our actions. And there's a reason I'm saying that, and I'll talk about it more later. But he goes on in 7, and he says, as to my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation here. Here is Rome. He's sending these guys from Rome to Colossae. I think, if I read it right, also to Ephesus, and it was about 1,000 miles that he sent these guys, and I don't think I pronounced his name right, Tychicus, anybody know?
Tychicus.
What?
Tychicus.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to call him Ty, but he was on the road with Onesimus. Onesimus was the runaway slave that met Paul in Rome and that Paul brought to the Lord in Rome. And Paul sent him with, I believe, 3 letters, one to Ephesus, one to Colossae, and one to Philemon. And I would think, and Philemon, by the way, is from Colossae too. So I would think, just trying to think through Philemon as you read it. It's a short letter, 20-some verses. I would think that that letter came to Philemon first. Even though he lived in that city, because he had a runaway slave that Ty brought along with him, that I don't think he came to the church first. I think he came to Philemon and got his approval first. But check this out as we read this. Hey, Nate, want to do me a favor? Come up here for a second. Bring your Bible. I'm not a great reader, and I get a little nervous when I am reading. Would you mind reading Philemon to these people?
Okay. I'll jump back.
Why are you doing this to me? I was good hiding out.
All right. Here, take this off so you can hear me. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, yeah, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, one who is unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing you with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Have confidence in your obedience. I write to you, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Better him than me reading that. So, you know, when you think about it, so here is Tychus and Onesimus standing before Philemon. Tychus hands him this letter, and he goes, oh, wow, a letter from Paul. How cool. I can't wait. And at the same time, you know, he's looking over the top of it at his runaway slave, right? This is what's going through his head when he's reading this. He's, you know, on the inside, he's going, grrr. And on the outside, he's going, oh, a letter from Paul. I wonder what this is about. And as Paul starts speaking, he talks about Apphia. And in King James, it says beloved Apphia. So I believe that's his wife. And have you ever heard Lauren talk about Marcy? He always says beloved Marcy, right? Have you heard that? He does all the time. So, you know, as Paul's writing this letter, you got to think about Paul, how he's approaching this brother that is, you know, he's got a church in his own home. He's, you know, he's somebody that refreshes the saints. I mean, there's a list of things that he does. So Paul honors this guy on the one hand. I mean, I shouldn't say on the one hand, but also he's approaching him in kind of a, maybe a kind of a stern way to receive back this runaway slave that took something from him. Whatever that was, it was probably something that was entrusted to him. It could have been money, you know, because Paul says, you know, if there's anything owed, I'll pay that back. But you just think about the kind of the sensitivity of, you know, going to a brother that you trust, me going to you, let's say. And I know that you're going to do what the Lord says, but how I approach you, it's almost like, you know, Paul is a little bit of a, you know, a used car salesman, let's say. He's kind of working him. He's building him up. He's even including his wife. And I think the other person there is his son. And then he says, you know, into the church that's in your home. So, you know, this letter is going to be read to everybody, right? Everybody's going to hear this thing. And he's saying, you know, I could even do this by, you know, I could order you to do this, but I'm trusting that the Lord moves in your heart to receive this person back. It's just a very interesting thing, you know, when you've got that person that close to you and he wounds you and he goes out, and I don't know how long he was away from Philemon. He went to Rome. Somehow he ran into Paul. Like I said, it was 1,000 miles, so it's not an easy trip, right? Him going out. And then there's slave hunters. There were slave hunters back then, and that's another reason why he traveled with Tychicus coming back. So he had that testimony. He had that letter from Paul. He was going back in the right direction. And but yet, with this whole thing, It's a strong letter for him to take him back. He says in verse 5, his love of the saints. I'm sorry, I got two Bibles going here. I was going to read that in New American Standard because it's a little easier for me, but my go-to Bible is King James. He says in verse 5, he says, hearing of the love of your faith, and in 6, every good thing that you have done in Christ Jesus, and 7, because the hearts of the saints are refreshed by you, brother. I mean, you know, he is building him up because that's who he is. You know, he wants to encourage Philemon, and then he goes on to say, he says in 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to order thee that which is fitting, yet for love's sake, I'd rather beseech thee. And that word beseech we're going to come back to. I'd rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee, again he says that, for my son Onesimus, you know, I want to refer to, I like the way it says that in New American Standard, because he says, I appeal to thee for my child whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. And, you know, as he's reading this, as Philemon's reading this, he's going, what can I do for Paul's son, the son that he has? And then the last word in that is Onesimus. He's going, wow, you know, this is, you know, this is a big thing. This is, you know, this is Paul's son. He's also my slave. He's also somebody I need to forgive from my guts, you know, from the bottom of my heart, in a way that he sees this and feels this. It says, receive him, right? I think about people that have done us wrong, and sometimes you can forgive, but it's hard to forget sometimes, you know, and you kind of keep that and carry that with you. And it's not the way that the Lord did with us. And we go back to the gospel, really. I remember when I got saved, that first initial meeting I had with the Lord, and I was searching. And these two guys were telling me about Jesus. I says, look, if Jesus is really real, he can prove it to me. And they said, well, why don't you just ask him that? So I said, Jesus, if you're God, prove that to me. And in a moment, I don't know what really happened, but in my mind, I went back to the very beginning when I was a child, and every time I offended my conscience, did something I knew that was wrong, from the very first time when I was in kindergarten, and I know the thing, and I've told many of you, I was reminded of that, and then the next thing, and then the next thing, and I went through my whole life, and my whole life was, you know, I was in and out of jail, I was, you know, there were some things in there that I'm very ashamed of doing. I went through that whole thing in a minute, and I felt, and I was on my knees crying. It really reduced me to, you know, where I couldn't even stand. And in that, I felt like Jesus was standing there saying, I went through all that with you and I forgive you. And I never knew that I had a weight on my shoulder. But when that happened, for the first time in my life, there was this weight that was lifted. And if you know that, how can you help but pass that on, right? That's forgiveness. That's what he did for us. If you don't know that, then I beg you, I beseech you to have that conversation with Jesus. Talk to him and say, who are you? Because you read this, and if you don't know him, it's just, it's a history book. It's a book of facts and stories and parables. If you know him, it's a love letter from our Father, Abba Father, and he's calling us son. And that price was paid for us by his son, Jesus. And that's what he's going back to Philemon and he's appealing to. He's saying, remember that grace? He starts out this chapter by grace. He ends by grace. And that grace is something that the Lord gave us, that it's more than just forgiveness. It's more than just bringing us into his family and allowing us to sit with his Father. It's so much more than that. It's so much more than just love. It's a whole lot of things. But with that grace that he gave us, he's asking Philemon, he's asking us, he's asking me to pass that on to somebody else. And it's not to forgive somebody when it's easy, but it's to forgive somebody when it's hard. And I think this was a very hard time for Philemon to, you know, look at this guy that had wounded him, that he had trusted, and now bring him back into, you know, where he says, you're useful. He's useful to me, Paul, and he's useful to you. And Philemon is, he's going along with that. There's a little bit of pressure, though. I mean, can you see that when we're reading this, that Paul is kind of, you know, working him? If he was a used car salesman, this guy'd have a lot of cars, probably, because he's, you know, he's kind of going in that direction. He says, I like this, in 11, he says, who in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sinned again, thou therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I would have retained with me, that in my stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. And I believe that, you know, with Philemon's permission, Paul would have rather had Onesimus stay with him in Rome and use him as somebody, as a partner to promote the gospel, to share the gospel, even in prison and or without. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou should receive him forever. And I really like that, because sometimes our relationships are so, you know, on this plane, and, you know, of this earth. You know, this is not heaven, this is earth, this is right here. And right here is very important, that, you know, what he's talking to Philemon, he's talking to all of us. And, but he speaks to him in an eternal way. He speaks to him of receive him forever, that in, you know, someday he's going to be with them, serving the Lord in heaven, looking at him and going, I did what was right. I forgave him. I received him. I brought him back in, and he was useful. And he goes on to say, and I really like this part, and Doug brought it out in a way that I hadn't heard it, but it says in 16, 17, and 18, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If they count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he have wronged thee or owed thee anything, put that on my account. And Doug said that word imputation, which I wasn't aware of. You guys probably all know that, but you know, part of my growing up and stuff, I ditched a lot of school, so English was one of those classes I missed, and I really didn't get that word. So I know that Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was imputed to him as righteousness, and that's that word. And what that picture is in 18, it's a beautiful picture of, if he wronged thee or owed thee anything, put that on my account, is exactly what the Lord Jesus was saying when he was on the cross to his Father, to us, about us. That if anything is owed, there's not even sure why that word is there, because there's everything is owed. The wages of sin is death. And all have sinned and come short of that glory. All have sinned. And he's saying, there's this great verse, let me flip to it. It's in Isaiah 53, the last verses. It says, he bore the sin of many and intercedes for the transgressors. He intercedes for them. And that's what Paul was doing here for this guy. He was interceding to Philemon for this guy. He's saying, if he owes anything, put it on my account. And also, I'm writing this. Believe me, I'm going to pay it, he says in the next verse. And then, you know, I think he's still working him here a little bit in verse 21. He says, have confidence. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. You know, I know you're going to go even beyond this, you know, and even in restoring somebody, even in receiving somebody, you know, we go, hey, you're forgiven and stuff, you know, but even taking them into their house and doing whatever it takes to get that person so they're effective for the Lord, you know, is what he's believing that this guy would do. He says, at the same time, prepare me also lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you, which means that you know, I'm asking you to do this, but by the way, I'm probably going to come visit you and live with you, and I'll see if you're really doing this kind of thing. And then he says, there greet Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. All these guys are witnesses to how Philemon is going to forgive this guy. And it's interesting that we have brothers and sisters as witnesses around us, you know? Forgiveness is a huge thing, and it causes wounds, and it causes bitterness. We get hurt. We don't know what to do with that hurt. And if we take it to our Father in heaven, He helps us with it. If we internalize it, we get bitter. And if we get bitter, we speak about it. And it says in Hebrews that that bitterness defiles many. So it goes out. It just doesn't stay here with me. It goes out. On the other hand, if we take it to our Father and there's really true forgiveness there, that goes out. And that's what's heard, and that's what's seen, and that's what's tasted, that salt. It gives a better taste. I wanted to with that, Doug, if you remember a couple weeks ago, he gave us three different things to read. He suggested that we took it home. If you remember, there was one in Matthew 18. There was a couple in Luke. The last one he talked about, it was about the prodigal son. Do you remember that? So the one in Matthew, it's Matthew 18:23. And it's, you know, that story that we've been talking about, and I'll read it quickly. It says, therefore, I'll let you, while you're flipping, I'll back up just a little bit. Then came Peter and said to the Lord in verse 21, Lord, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And the scribes were saying, you know, forgive somebody three times, you know, and, you know, maybe if you have to, four times. And so Paul thought he was going way beyond this, right? And the Lord says to him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until really 70 times seven, which is 490, but it's not that number. It's almost an uncountable. I mean, you don't keep track and you go, okay, you're on, you know, you're getting to the 400, so you better, you know. But it's, you know, in Daniel it talks about that number, and that's the number when you know, the kingdom comes. He's talking about the kingdom. So forgive somebody until I come back. Just keep forgiving them. It's one of those kind of numbers. But he goes on and he gives this parable. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. I looked this up. I'm just going to say this as I'm reading this. 10,000 talents. A talent is 15 years earning. Okay, so this guy owed him 150,000 years worth of... It's an insurmountable number. It's something that could never be paid back, right? It's just... It's a big number, right? So this king, he does an accounting. And it also shows that king has got a lot of money, right? To have to do an accounting to notice that this guy owes him 150,000 years worth of labor, and that's income come in. That's like gross. That's not after I pay the mortgage, after I pay the utilities, after, you know, right? So he says, but forasmuch as he had nothing with which to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and his children and all he had and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me until I pay it all. There's no way he could pay it all, right? And in this parable, it is speaking about that forgiveness, you know, and it's speaking about us. And there's no way that we can repay the debt that we have to the Lord. It says, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And 100 denarii is 1 day's labor. So 100 is about 3 months. He owed him about 3 months' wages. Owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what thou owest." And this fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay it all." There's that word. I wanted to go back to that word, besought. Remember, I told you that that's how Paul was coming to Philemon, and he besought him. This guy, and one of the definitions of this word is beg, and beg is probably what this guy's doing. Don't send me to jail until I can pay this back. 3 months, if I was working, not in jail, not paying my mortgage, I could pay you back. But if I had to pay that, it's going to be, 6 months. It's going to be a year, whatever, right? This guy's saying, "Please, I beg you, don't throw me in jail. I'll never have that opportunity to pay you back." He's begging him. And so when you come across that word beset, or what's the other?
Beseech,
thank you. You think about the times that it's used. And Paul, one of the times Paul uses it is in Romans 12:1, and he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice." He's begging. Paul is begging us to do something, right? To present our bodies a living sacrifice. That means on this earthly plane to serve him in that kind of way. It's not an option. We're saved, but Paul's saying, "Come all the way. Come all the way into the kingdom. Be useful to your Lord and Savior." He's begging them, right? It goes on to say, "And he would not, but he cast him into prison till his paid his debt. And so his fellow servant saw what was done." And to me, that's interesting too, that his fellow servants are standing here. We're surrounded by people. We're accountable to our brothers and sisters. And here he says, "And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and they told unto their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after he had called him, he said to him, Thou wicked." Mine says servant, doesn't say person. This guy was forgiven, a servant. He says, "Thy wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou besought me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And the Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors. I don't want to think about that. Tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall your heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgave not every one his brother's trespasses. And I like that sermon that Ted did a couple weeks ago or whenever it was about heart. And, the heart is that, it's your guts, it's your very being. If you don't know what's in your heart, it says out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Just listen to what you're talking about. If you're talking about the Lord all the time, that's what's in your guts. If you're talking about revenge, that's what's, you're talking about snowboarding, that's what's in your, that's how you find out what's in your heart. It's obvious, and it's obvious to everybody, really. And so he's saying, from your hearts, to forgive this guy, from that very depth of your being, forgive that person. That's what Paul is telling to Philemon. In that kind of way, where there's no doubt to anybody, restore this guy, receive him, bring him back in. We're going to the Lord's table, and with that, when we take the Lord's table, it's we do this in remembrance of him and what he did for us on the cross. I mean, it was more than him at one point just dying and that historical thing, but really what he did for us, what he did for me, he did for a million. He died for the whole world for sins, and to not just take our sins away, but bring me to a place where I can say, Abba, Father, and where my father can say, my son, Craig. I mean, that song, how can it be? I don't know how this can be. But that's that picture, you know, of forgiveness, and that's what he's given us, and that's what's required for us to give back, is that same kind of forgiveness. If we get it, we can give it. I remember hearing about the Berlin Wall. It's the east side was the bad side, right? Yeah. And so the people on the east side of the Berlin Wall threw their trash over the wall. The people on the west side took care packages and would throw that over, food and clothing and stuff like that. And you give what you got, you know? That's all they had to give was their trash and stuff. We've got the riches of the world to give to one another. That's what he's asking us to give. I heard this story about Corrie Ten Boom, and you guys all know who she was. She was, she hid the Jewish people when the Nazis were invading. I can't remember, where was it, Lauren?
Poland,
thank you.
Holland.
And and she got caught, and her family, and they were put into the concentration camps. And her sister Betsy died there, and when she got out, when Corrie got out, she went around to churches encouraging them. And this one night, after she got done talking, this guy came up to her and put his hand out and said, forgive me. And she looked up, and it was a guy, one of the prison guards that was responsible for her sister's death. And when she saw him, there was nothing in her that could forgive him. And she put her hand out, and she said it was like a dead arm going out there. And she asked the Lord, please help me, because I can't do this myself. And she said when she grabbed his hand, that his tears started flowing from him. And her heart, that she did not know how hurt it was, started being flooded by the love of Jesus. And she said, I could have never done that without him, without the Lord's help. Just, she was just obedient to what he was asking her to do. And sometimes that's the way it is with forgiveness. You know, it's beyond us. And if we can go beyond us, the Lord is there. It has to do with our will. I'm willing, Lord, to serve you. I love this verse. I'm going to read it to you. It's a great way to pray for one another. It's it's 2 Thessalonians 1:11. And it says, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. That's how we pray for each other, right? 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12 says that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, that in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ, we're not saved just to be saved. We're saved to glorify him. We're saved to be useful to him. we're saved to be counted worthy of that calling. And that's how we should pray for one another all the time. When you're at home, shut your eyes. Everybody always sits in the same place, right? In our church. Shut your eyes and think about who sat in front of me, who sat behind me, who's in the front row, who's on the right side and the left side, and just go down and pray for them. Do that. And if you forget, you know, look it up on the phone list. Thank you. Amen. We're going to go to the table. And, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, sometimes that forgiveness is, obviously, it healed that guy that Corey touched. It healed something in him that really needed to be healed. But it also did something in her. And sometimes, you know, that person that we have a hard time forgiving. And I know that there are some tough situations out there where, you know, you might grow up in a family, you know, and there's abuse or whatever, I don't know. A lot of things, and maybe your parents are gone. But, you know, you can still forgive, and it's for you. It's that we walk around right, that inside we're right, that we're not carrying anything we shouldn't carry. You know, the Lord prays for us, He intercedes for us, and I think one of His prayers is that we would really get what the cross was about. I want to read that verse again in Isaiah. How can it be? It says, He was numbered with the transgressors. He Himself bore the sins of many and intercedes for the transgressors. Thank you, Jesus, for bearing our sins. Thank you, Lord, for praying for us, interceding for us, carrying us every day, Lord, all the time. We're on your mind, we're on your heart. You're holding us with those hands with holes in them. Help us, Lord. Help us be a testimony for you. Help us bring you glory. Help us, Lord, get from here to there, from one stage of glory to the next, in Jesus' name, amen.